This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Start looking back towards Chris coming through the crowd.
So, do you want to see
No, favoringly, back of the room, which is the part of the food, there's a banner. So we come off the banner onto him, walk through the banner. So I'll see you in a sec.
Thank you.
This is literally the hot seat.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just really funny because you think...
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Welcome.
Thank you.
Someone has a Twitter message here. Hey, do you have a live stream for the Golden Globes? From Robston Dreams. So if anyone...
That's my
there you go.
Hey, guys, you can quickly just go through your names and your outlets for Dreams.
Yes. I'm afraid I probably remember, but sorry.
Blake Wright is coming soon, John.
Awesome.
Jenna Bush with Newsarama.
I'm Jamie Filbert from Movie Web.
Great.
George with AMC Theaters.
Hi.
Matt got the movies.
Great.
Allie from Pop Sugar and Blood Sugar.
Welcome.
Molly, also from Pop Sugar and Blood Sugar.
Wonderful.
Peter from SlashFilm.com.
Hello.
I'm Steve from Collider.
Hi.
John from Fandango.
Welcome. Nice to see you. So how can I help you guys?
Probably best to start with, how did you get involved with the crowd?
I had an email and we said simply the words, "Do you like the Muppets?"
To which,
boringly, my agent. That was it. It said, "Do you like the Muppets?" And it was that one of those questions which is like, well, who doesn't like the Muppets? Like, obviously, I love the Muppets. And in England, the Muppet Show is very much seen as an English thing. So people in England just assume Muppets are English. And so for us in the UK, it's a thing whereby they're like one of the, you know, the treasures of the history of children's TV and of comedy, basically. It's like a thing that you grew up with in the same way you grew up with Monty Python or The Goodies or any of that sort of stuff. It's just kind of, it defines a lot of your humour. Because I'm a great believer that your humour is developed at a very early age and it doesn't ever change. You basically are the same person forever and you find the same stuff funny forever. So I just kind of, the Muppet Show spoke to me at 5 and it speaks to me in my late 30s in the same way. So I typed back yes. And then here I am.
Can you talk about some of the challenges working with platforms and that have people attached to them?
How long have you got? I mean, there's numerous challenges working with puppets rather than humans. I mean, obviously, the puppets themselves are actors, effectively. You know, that's the joy of puppetry, is it's very simple and lo-fi, which I love. And I never wanted to make a movie which is going to be CG-filled and, you know, cold and computerized. What I like about them is you can see Kermit, especially next year, this beautiful red camera we have. You can see Kermit's felt, Fozzie's fur is really, you can almost touch it, which I absolutely love about it. And it's just guys doing this, and it just so feels so organic and natural and real. And so you treat them as any actor because they're doing the mouth at the same time they're doing the hand. And it's a great thing. You can do that rather than having voiceover or animation. It's very different. But in terms of shots, it's a very different game because, of course, they don't really have legs. Don't need to tell anyone this, but a lot of times they haven't got legs, so you've got to worry about that. You know, you can't shoot below here, and there's a guy underneath doing this. So you are restricted to a degree in what you can shoot and what you can't shoot, and that determines how you shoot scenes in a way you would never do with humans. If you watch the earlier movies, there's a very interesting grammar about how they construct shots and how they put things together. And it's something you only really learn when you do it. So one of the first things I did when I got the job was to get asked the puppets and start shooting them and seeing what frames they hold and the lenses you can use with them and how you can compose a shot using puppets in a way you never would with humans, because as humans, if you don't stand over there, and that'll probably work, you know what I mean? With puppets, you can't stand over there because you'll see the guy underneath. So it's a lot of foregroundy stuff, and it's but yeah, the key of it is that you're not supposed to ever, for example, when Kermit's walking around, he tends to feel sort of here, right, at this height. So obviously Kermit in real life is so high, like he's down here. And so it's how you connect the shots together and how you pull things together so the illusion is maintained. It's just an illusion. It's the bottom of frame is the sort of key to it all.
So how do you compose a shot with Jason Segel, Amy Adams?
With great difficulty. I mean, obviously, Jason is 6'3", and Walter, our new guy, is about, 2.5-3 foot, same as a plumber. So it's difficult, but it's that, use perspective cheeks. It's how they've always done it. Whenever you have people often bend down a little bit. You have seated scenes, you bring people forward, and it tends to work. I mean, I'm always a great fan of keeping things on a level eyeliner like that anyway for comedy. It plays better. And so I try and just level them out whenever I possibly can. There's a lot of scenes of cars, And sometimes water's just quite high, and that's just, you know, you tend to buy it, even though if you thought about it, his legs are suddenly like 5 foot long.
Can you tell with the music and the Brits bringing in?
Sorry, I forget this. Thank you. Oh yeah, of course. Well, I'm a huge Williams fan. You know, I not only his Muppet work, but things like Bugs Malone is hugely influential to me. I love those sort of things. And it's looking at, you know, when I was working with the Concord, we used to spend a lot of our time watching musicals, as you do, because when you're working with the comedy, it's kind of, you want to keep, you know, it's an interesting reference and it's just fun to watch. And we used to watch the show in our time off. So, you know, immediately when I got the job, I started talking to different people and saying, you guys around, you need to write songs, and Brett was around, and so he said, I'd love to. So he's been doing some songs, right? But we have other people too, because obviously, you know, we're going to spread it as wide as we can. And so, yeah, the music's a key element. I mean, effectively, this is a musical comedy. You know, it really is. I mean, we try and keep as much in it as we can. And not only Muppets. You know, Jason sings a song, our bad guys sing a song. You know, I think, coming from comedy, it's got a very natural development. It felt like it came from the same place, musically and musically. It's a thing whereby one wasn't better than the other, they're both equally important. And you know, the Concords aren't people who just happen to be good at, you know, playing guitar, comedians who can play guitars. They are genuine musicians who also are really funny. The Muppets are the same sort of way, whereby the music's very important and the comedy's very important. So.
Do you have two more questions?
On the Concord show,
style
was very sort of naturalistic, but then it would cut to these musicals. Numbers, they were all different styles.
Inevitably, in any work you do, I think there's a sort of sense of continuity. So I think, and I like that, because I think that, as I said, I think Concord's Muppets is quite a natural step, and so I wanted to take some of that to this. So, yeah, I think if you look at the two, how they shot and how they feel, where they can, they have a sense of that, whereby we try and keep a fairly contemporary style in terms of the dialogue and the scenes, but when we go into the video, we have quite some fantasy and feels. I hope it feels similar, because I love doing that, and I like the idea of using music video grammar from the past, and people will recognise certain moments from other music videos or from other movies. And because Muppets are very referential, they have a great history of referencing other things in time and the past, and they really live in the history of entertainment. I think one of the great things of Muppet Show is that it's set in a 19th century British theatre, and they live so nicely amongst that lovely old theatre. And one of the great joys of this movie is the chance to build that theatre again in a sort of huge stage on Universal. That's like the best day of my life, was walking in that theatre and seeing it. You know, seeing what Kermit sees. You know, when you see that classic shot of Kermit at his desk and everyone's walking behind him. He never ever saw what he saw. And we built that so you can see what Kermit sees. It's just for me, like, amazing. So, you know, it's really fun.
Last question, guys.
Does the film have that tone of sort of breaking the fourth wall?
Constantly. As I said, it's kind of that thing whereby you are a product of what you watch as a kid, largely. And I always like that sort of stuff anyway. And I think, you know, in a way, that sort of great, you know, punnery and fourth wall breaking stuff is. It's kind of gone away and come back, and it's very gentle, nice humour, which you didn't pop up a lot anyway. It's kind of very, it's like swearing, it's not mean-hearted, it's not mean-spirited, it's very gentle and funny and stupid. And Muppets have always been doing that, and it just so happens now that's kind of the thing we like doing too. And so, yeah, no, it's stuff full of that sort of stuff. If you like four breaking jokes, you will not be disappointed in this movie.
Okay, thank you guys.
Cool, sorry I'm so quick. Sorry, look, lovely meeting. Oh, sorry. I seem to have broken someone's thing. sorry. Well, thank you guys, I really appreciate it. Thank you. All right, take care, have a good day.
All right, thank you.
Your glasses?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and well, what we'll do is we'll pull it up. Okay. There you go. Going to pull it up. Excellent.
Scott, you want this backlight?
Sure. I might have to go up a little bit.